Good morning from the newsroom of the Financial Times. Today is Friday, April 12th, and this is your FT News Briefing. Julian Assange has been arrested after Ecuador lifted diplomatic protection for the WikiLeaks founder. Next, Uber has filed its S-1 as the ride-sharing company reveals its plans to go public. Then, countries in the EU are poised to back trade talks with the United States. Plus, we talk with the FT's U.S. finance editor, Rob Armstrong, about what to expect when Wall Street bank earnings come out over the next week. J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo kick things off today. I'm Mark Filippino, and here's the news you need to start your day. A seven-year saga has ended with Julian Assange being arrested in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. The United States has been after Assange since 2010. The WikiLeaks founder allegedly helped former U.S. Army intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning leak a trove of U.S. documents.
Que la conducta irrespetuosa y agresiva del señor Julian Assange.
Ecuador President Lenín Moreno said in a video statement that the country withdrew diplomatic protection for Assange because of his, quote, aggressive behavior and the transgression of international treaties. The U.S. Justice Department says Assange could face up to 5 years in prison if found guilty on the American charges. It's arguably the most hotly anticipated stock market listing of the year. And now we know Uber's pitch to become a public company. The ride-sharing group filed its S-1 registration form to regulators on Thursday, which revealed it's looking to raise $10 billion. Uber recently told holders of its convertible debt that the company could be valued at between $90 billion and $100 billion. During a private fundraiser in August, Uber was valued at $76 billion. The S-1 didn't include the size of the offering or the anticipated price of shares. The company expects to kick off its investor roadshow later this month and plans on listing its shares on the New York Stock Exchange on May 10th. Most EU governments are planning to support the opening of trade talks with the US. The European Commission has received the green light from EU capitals to open negotiations with the US. Ministers will vote on the measure without discussion on Monday. But France openly protested negotiations with the United States. The country is unhappy that US President Donald Trump has rejected efforts to fight climate change. However, other countries are more focused on avoiding a trade war with the US. This comes on the heels of a speech by Christine Lagarde, the head of the International Monetary Fund, where she called for fewer tariffs.
Nobody wins a trade war. That is why we need to work together to reduce trade barriers and modernize the global trade system so that we all win.
And here's a closer look at one of today's big stories.
Hi, I'm Rob Armstrong. I'm the U.S. finance editor at the Financial Times. We're about to enter a big week for bank earnings. All of the largest banks in America are going to report their first quarter results. And there are three things that you should look out for and that everybody on Wall Street will be looking out for. The first thing we're going to be looking for is any clue in the earnings of these banks about the state of the American economy. Banks report before a lot of other companies do, so they're an early indicator, and their earnings results are particularly sensitive to the overall strength of the U.S. economy. So we'll be looking, for example, at whether banks' loan portfolios are growing, both loans to companies and loans to consumers. Now, the only real reason to think that we're heading into any kind of recession is this, that it's been so darn long since we've had one, almost a decade now. But investors will be going through these numbers with great care to see if there's any weakening in the credit portfolios. The second thing we're looking out for is any impact on the bank's business from lower interest rates. For much of last year, the Federal Reserve was raising interest rates, and the general expectation was that a long period of low and falling interest rates was finally over and we were heading back into normal interest rate territory. Well, that has changed. The Fed has said it is on pause and is not sure whether its next move is going to be up or down. And yields on bonds have come in all across the yield curve. So what that means is it's harder for banks to make money. Banks borrow short and lend long. And when long rates go down, that means their profit margins go down. The third thing is the trading businesses of the big banks. So all or most of the big U.S. banks have large operations in trading securities, stocks, bonds, derivatives, interest rates, and so forth. And one of the largest investment banks, the one inside of J.P. Morgan Chase, gave a kind of weak forecast for what they were expecting for trading revenues. And so we will be looking not only at their results, but at all their competitors' results to see if it was a lousy quarter for Wall Street's traders.
You can read more on all of these stories at FT.com. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back next week for the latest business news. The FT News Briefing is produced by Amy Keene and me, Mark Filippino. Our editor is Amelia Mahasik. Robert Shrimsley is editorial director for the Financial Times. Special thanks to Jatsina Singh for her help producing from New Delhi.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation,
partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.